Include your discussions? Yes? No? You're done? Okay. Optional. Would you like to have a 10-minute break? And it really has to be 10 minutes just to stretch and whatever else you need to do. Who needs to go for a break? A few. Okay. Let's have a break for a few minutes, and then, since it's just a few, would 5 minutes be enough? Yes. Okay. So, have a break, and then be back in a few minutes. And the mic will probably not extend right down to the back. But also, before we begin with the questions, I think we have an announcement. So, please come and make the announcement.
I've been asked to bring this group a message from the organizing team. Some of you have booked excursions for the afternoon, and unfortunately they have been cancelled because the weather forecast is very unstable. So I was asked to tell this group that those of you who have booked these excursions, they have been cancelled. Thank you.
It's interesting that there was a retreat from the 28th through to the 2nd, and I arrived in Abu on the 27th of September to help prepare for that retreat, and it was cyclonic rain. There was a cyclone in the neighborhood, and it was just torrential rain every single day until the last day. The last day, on the 1st of October, they saw that it's possible to have blue skies. And so there were no outings, literally no outings at all. I didn't hear a single moan or groan or anything. It was just incredible. I think just the vibrations just held everybody in the sweetness of love. And so it was fine. So if your excursion is cancelled, it's fine. Because it means you have more time for reflection, more time for yourself, and maybe even rest for the body so that you're fresh for the sessions. That too, definitely. So, we can take questions, and we need to leave some time at the end, maybe 10 minutes, so that then we can have a closing meditation together. But there's a mic here, and please come up and take the mic. And if you see somebody else taking the mic, that's also fine. Just wait in line under that the loudspeaker, and so then we have an idea of who's next.
Okay, I'm Tineke from the Netherlands.
Does everybody know each other, or would you prefer that people give their name and country? Yes, name and country, and then...
It's a question that was asked in the group.
Your name and country?
Oh, I'm Tineke. Now I'm getting confused. Shanti, and then Tineke. I'm Tineke from the Netherlands.
And if you hold the mic close to your mouth.
Okay. Everybody can hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. It's a question that came up in the group, and I hope I put the question in the right way, but otherwise I must be changed. The question was, when you feel that you have done bad karma, I hope my English is right well, can you make it good, better? Can you change it for the best? That's what I'm... Yeah?
Okay, some of the answers are going to be long ones because they involve a few other factors. If I've had the humility and the honesty to recognize that I've done bad karma, then firstly, let me seek forgiveness from the person I've wronged. That takes a lot of courage, but it's important. And then, let me truly realize what it is I've done and make a commitment for change, and then seek forgiveness from God. I can't just say sorry to God and hope that it's all settled, but it needs A, the settlement with the people, B, it needs the realization and the commitment for change. Then I will feel God being able to forgive me, so that then I'm able to feel God's love again. When I haven't sought forgiveness, it feels as if there's a block and I can't experience God's love. And then the third step is to forgive myself, which means I mustn't think about that situation anymore. I have to begin fresh and new, both with that person as well as generally with others. And then fourthly, let me now do as much good karma as possible.
Okay, Om Shanti, I'm Kiran Banot and I'm from London. We had actually 3 or 4 questions. Am I only allowed to ask one?
No, you can ask all your questions.
Okay, the first question was, what is the distinction between karma and dharma?
Karma and?
Dharma.
Dharma. Karma is action. Dharma is 3 translations. The original state of being, the way of life, and the application of spirituality in life. So dharma is all of this. And so yes, both are absolutely intrinsically linked. Because if my karma is good karma, my dharma is good. My state of being is good. My way of life is good. And if my karma isn't good, my dharma is in question.
Thank you. The next question is, can we just have a little bit more clarity on neutral karma?
Neutral karma is where there's no negative or positive repercussions. But you can see how, say for example, I cook. And I'm either cooking because I feel it's a chore, it's a duty, it's a responsibility, and I do it with not such a good feeling. Or I do it because I'm cooking for my children, I love my children, I'm cooking for them. But that's not actually pure love, it's attachment. And so even in a simple thing like cooking, we don't actually know how to do it in a neutral state. Neutrality exists in the golden age, where every soul is already full of good karma. They don't need to be doing anything for another. So everybody's happy, everybody's content. What more can I do for them? And so it applies to the actions we perform in the golden age.
Okay. Thank you. And the last question is, it's quite a long question actually. How does the karma of someone who's possibly done a negative karma in their previous life, and, you know, they may be, say, you know, punished for it in this life, but they're a member of their public, so that has, of your family, so that has an impact on you when you've not possibly done some bad karma. How does, you know,
I'm not understanding.
Yeah, and basically if somebody's done bad karma in your family, or in your circle of friends, and that has an impact on you when you do good karma all the time. How can you, I mean, why does that happen basically when you've not done any bad karma? So somebody, you lose a dear one because of some bad karma they've done, but it's, you've followed the good path, but it still has an impact on you.
You're already talking about past birth. Does everyone here accept that there is rebirth? Who doesn't accept that there's rebirth? And who thinks maybe there is, maybe there isn't? So I think your question is a little bit above them. But I understand what you're saying. But let's bring it down to the present birth. And I'll make it a very concrete example. And here's a real situation. Somebody's son got involved with drugs and they got thrown into prison. And this woman, of course, her whole life was impacted by this. The impact on her reputation, the impact on how she feels, how other people behave towards her. And she can say, well, I've got nothing to do with what my son has done. But, of course, there is an impact. And because there's a karmic relationship between her and her son, then this is why all of this is happening. And so what she now has to do, and she's been a very good person, what she now has to do is to make sure that she doesn't feel burdened by what her son has done. And she keeps, and as I say, it's a real story I'm sharing, and she has kept a very good feeling for her son, understanding that it was the influence of bad company. And so now she visits him regularly, and she makes sure that she gives him good things to think about, so that then he's beginning not just to be punished, but there's a rehabilitation going on in a sense. And she's giving him good things to read also. And her family, her extended family, are seeing that she stayed very calm. She wasn't upset, she wasn't angry. She wasn't critical. She stayed calm. And so that's calmed down her whole family. And so my reaction to whatever it is that somebody else has done is going to determine how that impacts on the other individual, the offender, but it also impacts on others around.
Om Shanti.
That's a big book.
There are just a few questions. My name is Bulela Rabase and I'm from South Africa. We had both questions and also sentiments, and we also tried to sort of come with solutions to some of the questions that we have, on with the understanding that karma is based on intent. We first wanted to tackle the subject of investing money. We came to the understanding as a group, we shared the sentiment that we might want to invest money not necessarily from a place of greed, but from a place of preparedness. That anything could happen in one circumstance which might require for them to have some kind of, you know, safety net. So, is that still okay to...
No, absolutely. It's very important. It's okay. Why? Because my responsibility is first and foremost to the ones that I have to care for and even to myself. And if I've been, you know, my head's in the clouds and I haven't thought about that, and I've said, oh, my money is for good things and I haven't bothered, then it's going to be a problem. And so, yes, to manage what I need for myself and my family for today and for the future is important.
Frank spoke about taking care of the body versus us doing it in the spirit of vanity. We came to the understanding collectively that we spend time, and especially Frank, money, to take care of the body because we understand that it is where the soul resides. So that was the shared view. Karma in relation to language, is there a direct link? In an African language we say, akuna matata, no worries. So is this a manifestation of sorts in trying to sort of entrench the idea of, or the use of language rather, in entrenching the value that what we speak automatically manifests?
Very good. In English they say, and in the Caribbean they say, don't worry, no problem. And so, yes, definitely, it's an attitude. Language is a reflection of attitude also. And so if I worry about something, the problem magnifies. And the problem is there, and I'm not denying that it's something I have to deal with. So if I keep thinking about it and worrying about it, I'm never going to find a solution. And so, yes, important attitude, language, and my vision towards the situation.
And in terms of neutral karma, you've explained that it neither has a positive or negative effect. How, and you've also explained how it occurs. How is it accumulated? I sort of read it as being in limbo. When we say I am in limbo, I'm neither in a good or bad place. Frank came up with a word which is called being indifferent. That was his interpretation of neutral karma. He also spoke about vipassana. It's about reaching a point of equilibrium where you are neither too excited or too sad. Could this be an interpretation of neutral karma?
Okay, indifference is not neutral karma. Here's somebody suffering and I'm indifferent, that's bad karma. It's my duty to take active steps to try and help them. And so one was indifferent, and what was the other one that you said?
In limbo.
In limbo. No, when I'm in limbo, it's like there's lack of clarity.
Yes.
In which direction I need to go in. And the present time is a very precious period of transition. And while I stay in limbo, time is slipping away. And the opportunity in which I can do something positive is also being lost. And so being in limbo, being unclear, being worse than that, confused, is absolutely unhealthy. And so let me take active steps to understand what it is that are my options. And the internet is a fantastic vehicle for good and for bad and for waste of time and energy. But if I have a question and I'm not able to resolve it, then rather than stay in limbo, let me find through, whether it's internet giving me an answer, and it may not, but at least finding an address where I can go and find out more. And so, not true. But yes, the vipassana state in which I don't feel pain and I don't feel pleasure, that is very definitely a state of consciousness to arrive at, in which, you know, we talked about cancelling the excursions and everybody was fine. Nobody said, oh, I didn't hear any moans and groans, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. And yet, of course, you were interested in the excursion. And so, if it had happened, you would have enjoyed it. But if it's not happening, you're okay. And so, that's that state in which you're in a neutral state, in which if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't bother me. And so, that's the... I'm talking about a very simple thing, but extend that idea, and where my passions, my emotions don't get stirred up in either way. Mm. And we would use the word equilibrium, as you have. So that state of equilibrium is a very important state for all of us to come to.
Is karma related, is superstition related to karma? For example, Friday the 13th.
Superstition is very bad karma. So it's related to karma, but if I believe in it, it's actually blind faith.
Okay.
It's, okay, so don't walk under the stairs. And in England, I don't know about in other countries, but you know, if you're walking along a road and there's a building construction site and they say it's bad karma to walk under the ladder, well, it's actually very sensible not to walk under the ladder because you don't know what's going to happen. But it's become a superstition, or it's become something that, you know, people just say without actually understanding the significance. But every day of the week can be holy, can be a holiday. Every day of the week can be auspicious.
And the second last question. Is there a cleansing process for negative karma? For example, in the black community in Africa, we talk about going to a sangoma who is going to wash you off of your bad luck. Of all the accumulated karma, negative karma, is there a cleansing process?
There is a cleansing process, but I wish there was somebody who could pour some water on me and wash all my karma away. And unfortunately, I don't think it works like that. Mm. But the cleansing process of karma is understanding good and bad. Stop doing the bad, do lots and lots of the good, and yoga. Mm-hmm. The connection that the soul has with yoga removes the traces that remain on the soul of any bad karma. Mm-hmm. So it's much easier to go to a priest and say, Father, I confess, and say, okay, that's my bad karma settled. But I don't think it works like that. Or for the Hindus to go and take a dip in the Ganges and say, okay, all my karma's gone now. No, that's actually human laziness, where we've tried to find shortcuts that are not actually real.
So I guess holy water is out of the question too. Okay. And the very last one is, you said that, you spoke about the words you speak, and you said a tongue is like a needle that can sew the heart back to healing. That is a blessing. You've also said that a tongue is like a sword that can cut the heart into pieces. That is a curse. In instances where we say hard things to each other, in an attempt to sort of wake each other up, could that be considered as bad karma?
First is the question of my relationship with that individual. If I've invested time and love and respect in creating a good relationship, then to say what I need to say clearly, but without any harshness in my tone, with a lot of respect, is useful. But most times when we say things, it's with a backlog of emotion. And so the other person isn't ready to accept it, because what they're catching is your negative emotion, and the truth behind your statement is disappearing. And so the result is just pain. It's not effective. And so I need to invest in relationships first before I say, well, I only told them the truth. But how did I tell them the truth?
Hello, my name is Arnar and I come from Iceland. Thank you for your very interesting lecture. Just one question from my group. We had an interesting discussion, and in particular on a point you raised regarding a situation where you give your money to a person which will use that money for bad purposes, and that might create bad karma. So let's say I live in a country where I know, and it is official information, that my government is using the tax money for things I do not approve of. Let's say that my government is using the money, apart from, of course, for paying for the healthcare system and the education system, etc., they are using the money to wage war on other people. So that in this situation, I would resolve to take 35% of my money, which the law requires me to pay in tax, 35%, and I would use that 35% and to give to various charities, which I would be certain would use the money in ways I could approve of. Would you think, or would you say that by breaking the tax law, I would be creating bad karma?
Okay. Very interesting story that's applicable in every single country under the sun. And the Brahma Kumaris would be accused of creating a revolution in which we are telling people don't pay their taxes. I'm going to answer your question in an oblique way, because it's not a reality that you can say to the government, I don't approve, and so this is why I'm doing what I am. They would throw you into jail. They would forget about good karma. But this is why I say I'm going to answer your question a little bit obliquely. I heard a very interesting comment. We get the governments we deserve. Which means that I happen to know Iceland a little bit, because I go there several times. I think I was there 4 times last year. You have the regular government, and then you have people like John Nah, the mayor, who would not let money be used in armaments and the military. And here's a man who's ready to stand up and fight for his principles. And he made that very clear when he stood for election. and he was elected by the people. And so the people of Reykjavik said, this is a man of principles and ideals whom we want. And so this is why I said, if people actually understand this principle of how it's possible to vote for a government that stands for our ideals, then we will get that sort of government. So that's one side of the picture. Other countries I may not know so intimately, so I can't give you very practical answers, but this man I know for the last few years, he actually refused to have a reception for a visiting ship from a NATO country. I won't mention the name of the country. He refused. The system in Reykjavik is that every time ships come from NATO countries, they're given a big civic reception that the mayor hosts, and a lot of money is spent on that. He refused because he suspected, and that other government didn't say that they were carrying weapons, nuclear weapons, but he believed, he suspected, probably correctly, that they were. But he refused to host a reception. It was questions in parliament, lot of criticism, but he stood by it. And the captain of that ship was very upset, very angry, but the mayor stood by his principles. That's one little example. He's not the president, the mayor, but he did what he could to move his ideas forward. And of course, now in Britain, we had the situation where the conservative government wanted to go for war, military intervention, and the MPs said no. Why? Because they understood that they would not get votes next time if they were to vote for going to war. Similar situations in other places too. People today are saying, we don't want war. If enough people say, we don't want war, the governments at some point have to listen. So these are just two little examples I've shared with you. That's one answer. The second answer, from a very different perspective, the time that we're living in now is a time that we describe as the Dark Age, the Iron Age, the Age of Darkness. And in this age, negativity is governing. It's not only the leaders that are governing, but what's governing the leaders is ego and anger and greed. And this is true of every single nation. In some countries it's visible, in some countries it's got a veneer of respectability, but not true. And so it's the age in which we live. But in this age, the negative forces are increasing, but the positive forces are also increasing. And I believe that at a time when there's an extreme of darkness, things have to change. And I believe the fact that we have this group here who've made the effort of traveling, somebody came and said to me that they'd met me in Namibia 2 years ago, And I know that, I don't know the country, I'm sorry, I was there just 2 days. But I've seen the conditions of that country. And for this woman to make the time, the effort, the money to come here, it's a big deal. To come from some countries is not such a big deal. But to come from Namibia is a big deal. And so I'm thinking that, and then where money is easy, but to make time in your busy schedules is not so easy. So nobody is here just by chance. Everybody had to make a commitment and cancel other things from their diary and say, this is more important than anything else. You made a choice. It was your intention. And so that's why you're here. Which to me is an indication of the power of the ascending positive energy. And I've just come back from the Middle East. Crazy. It was five countries in 6 days. And I left my throat behind in Abu before I went on tour. So I was meeting amazing groups of people, 400, 300, 100, different situations, all of them who want peace, who want spirituality in the Middle East. And I'm sure here, again, I know that there are some people from the Middle East and they want spirituality and peace. And so to me it warms my heart that really it's the time of change. And as the forces of positivity grow, and each one of you is an instrument who can impact 5, 10, 100 others, truly change will happen. But please don't stop paying your taxes. You'll be in trouble. We'll be in trouble.
Hello. My name is Andrea and I'm from Slovakia. I live in Dublin at the moment. And I would probably like to have more clarification actually what constitutes good karma and what is bad karma, because my understanding is that sometimes the very same action can be considered as a bad karma and sometimes can be a good karma depending on circumstances. And I'm just wondering whether it depends on the intention which with it is done, or is it the level of knowledge of the person who is doing? Is it the kind of awareness the person has? Or what it depends on? Because sometimes it's very difficult even to see whether a joke, let's say, I say joke, and sometimes somebody can get offended even by a simple funny joke, because I don't know this person, or maybe this person is very sensitive. So how can I know, or how can I, shall I just not saying jokes anymore? Or
there was a situation recently in London, I was in London in September, but within that situation, and I'll be very specific, it was a man who made a comment, and he is a man in office in Parliament, and he made a comment about women. Bang! It hit the press. And he had to apologize, and he said it was a joke. Nobody believed him. So jokes are usually a reflection of something that's going on inside. Definitely. And if I have love, if I have respect, not a problem making jokes, but then it's not at the expense of somebody else. So I think that's the factor. Before making a joke, let me be aware, is it going to put somebody down? Anyone, doesn't matter whether they're sensitive or not sensitive, is it going to be putting somebody down? Because that's the feeling I have at the back of my mind. So that's one side of the joke story. Another side is intention, awareness, vision, attitude, all are absolutely connected. Attitude, it's come because of some experience I've had, or something that I've been told. Maybe it's not even my experience, but somebody has said something, and so it creates an attitude within myself. But the problem then is that I think that this applies to everyone. And it's not true. Not everyone who's a woman is a bad driver. There's some very good women drivers, and I know them. And the other way, it's not necessarily so that you're a man, you're a good driver. Some are definitely not. So what happens is that we label people. But to get away from the attitudes that I hold, which are divisive, and the way to do this is with knowledge. The more knowledge I have, the more knowledge I access and understand and use, it changes things within myself. It changes my attitude, it changes my intention, it changes my vision, it changes my awareness. And so the starting point is knowledge, understanding. And here's somebody, and again it's a real story, they wanted to give money, it's nothing to do with me in a sense, but I just happen to know these people. They wanted to give money to this particular project, but they wanted to control it, they wanted to have their name on it, and the committee decided they'd rather not have the money. Because the intention wasn't pure giving. It wasn't recognizing the value of the project, but it was wanting the name, it was wanting the control. And then here's somebody who gives even just a little bit, but they see the value, and they're contributing to that. Without any concern, some will even say, "Don't mention my name." And so you can see that understanding, and then my attitude, my intention, all of this comes into play. So, and knowledge is not by chance. Knowledge is when you seek it, when you know that there is knowledge out there, and you make an effort to be able to study.
Maybe another question in our group, there was a discussion about ignorance. It doesn't kind of excuse us from doing bad karma. Like, I cannot say, oh, I didn't notice or I didn't know about that. But like, I'm just wondering, how much is it required to know, or does it depend on which level, kind of where we are at the moment, just to do the best, very best, what we know, what is our abilities as well. And then the outcome can be, it just could be even negative with whatever we try, whatever we do, because, for example, some people can get offended even when you tell them good morning, because just they feel already miserable in the morning.
Ignorance does not save you from the repercussions of bad karma. I saw a sign in Karachi, this was at the end of August, and the sign on the roads, many roads, and it's a road sign that says, ignorance does not save you from having an accident. So it's your job, if you're going to drive, you have to find out what are the laws, and that the laws are there to protect you and for safety. And so you can't say, well, I didn't know. And so the accident happens and you can't say, I didn't know. You have to deal with the repercussions, the results. And so when I see somebody, and they have so rather than just say, good morning, and walk past, let me just take a moment and say, how are you? Yeah? So I have to be alert. I have to be aware. And then whatever is going to happen is going to be good.
What I'm hearing, what you're saying, is actually not thinking about myself to, you know, fulfill the obligation to say good morning out of politeness to everyone, but like being really interested in people
and,
around.
And making sure that I accept responsibility for what I say and do. Otherwise, the easiest thing is to say, well, you know, I was just being polite. But I wasn't aware of the condition of the other. And so, yes, important that I am aware and interested.
I must say this is very confronting. It requires lots of responsibility on one, right?
It's actually a good point to close with. Understanding karma means understanding what is my responsibility. Or even I would say, as soon as I start walking on the path of spirituality, I begin to understand I am responsible. My thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my personality, my attitude, my behavior, I'm responsible. But that's not a burden. Responsibility is not heavy, but it's actually the way to become free. Accepting responsibility is the path to freedom.
Thank you.
When I walked into the room and I saw the buzz and I heard the buzz, I could see that you were having interesting conversations. We'll have a short meditation. By now you know that we share a few thoughts to just simply show you how to make the mind work in meditation. Turning inwards, the soul begins to shine. May the soul sparkle with the awareness of who I am. And I connect with the peace within. And in this awareness, my thoughts, turn to the divine. The being of light, the supreme. God's light is the light of love. God's light is the light of truth. The light of truth shows me what it is I must do and what it is I must not. God's light shows me what is precious and what I must hold and keep safe. God's light shows me what is unclean and I must remove and throw away. As I stay in God's light and move forward, the destination becomes more and more visible. The destination I wish to arrive at is that of liberation, of freedom. This is what I would like to have. Freedom from bondage, freedom from sorrow, freedom from negativity. Fill myself more and more so that I, the soul, am filled with truth. Holding this light and might within myself, my thoughts come back to this moment here in this room, but now as a child of God, Om Shanti. Have a very enjoyable day, and we'll meet again tomorrow.